You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. What is going on, gentlemen? We had a wonderful evening, and you're back at it this morning. All is well today. What's up, Scotty?
Good morning, my friend. How are you? Good to see you this morning. Is everybody? And just keeping away at it, you know, drafting and getting ready for drafts. Check out the new PPR mock draft on rotoexperts.com and the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter the King at checkout for a very special discount.
Wall Street, how's it hanging, man?
It's going well. I had an afternoon draft yesterday, which is a rare occurrence, but it did happen. Kenny Golladay went in the 10th round yesterday. And I love Minitron, but, you know, people, calm down.
Slow your roll, some would say. What's up, Corey, man? How you doing?
I mean, I'm tired, Greg. I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired. I put so much of my life into this, Greg. You know what I'm saying? And I'm here this early in the morning, and I'm tired, Scott. I'm tired, and I'm just going to try to work my way through because I know drafts are coming up, and I know people need me. You feel what I'm saying?
You up late last night working hard on the Executive Edge package? Is that it?
Promo code, yeah. Frenzy, Scott. Yeah. It just takes everything from me to help you win fantasy championships, people. Scott by himself is tough enough.
I understand.
Yeah, I know. You're 5-9 against me. I'm very tough. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Last night, we also saw the debut of Lineup Locked live on the Fantasy Sports Network on Dish TV. That was fantastic. It was fantastic. Thanks for watching.
Dish Network, awesome. Channel 266, 4 to 7 Eastern, every weekday.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. 6-7 is the Lineup Lock program. You got your Fantasy Football Frenzy there as well, Corey.
Yeah.
Hashtag win.
There you go. Hey, so on the program today,
what we got?
I think it's the time for all of us to check out Scott's draft from the Flex. I think we kind of alluded to a lot of it yesterday. I think it's time for us to break it down this morning on the program. I want to go a deep dive into the two Flex leagues. Matt, you also participated, of course, over the weekend. I want to do a deep dive on your team, on Scotty's team. This is our chance to really give it to you as we kind of head into another week in fantasy draft season coming up. This weekend, where we have the GST drafts. Well, that draft will go over next week. I'd love to see how things change week to week. So we're going to go over your two drafts, other things that stood out to you guys, I think, is important to speak about as well. So we're going to go all over all of that here on the program this morning. Of course, we'll start with your fantasy football headlines as well. And naturally, I'll also mention the Yankees defeated the Mets last night.
Boom. Nice, nice.
The Yankees defeated the Mets Boom. Last night.
That's not news, though.
No, it's not. You're right. Hey, when we come back, we're going to give you an update on Jordan Reed and get your opinion on that. John Ross returns to practice as well, and some Jack Doyle love coming your way this morning. Run away for the morning. Up and running. Stick with us. We'll be back right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engle predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network Fantasy Football Exclusive Edge Package is available now at rotoexperts.com. And gentlemen, I want to start this morning on Jordan Reed. because we are now in, what, week three, week four of training camp, and there has been no Jordan Reed. Now, of course, he says, listen, I'm going to be back next week. This Dr. Schultz that they're going to put in my cleat is going to fit great. All is well. I am happy, and you should be happy, too. Corey, I know that you have been somewhat of that in the right spot. You'll take Jordan Reed. You'll happily take Jordan Reed if he falls in the right spot. I know for some, maybe yourself, he's the number one tight end in all of football.
Yeah, nah, he can play. That's how good the kid is. He plays real good in real life.
He does. But the question is, will he be on the field? The same question is Gronk. Now, Gronk, to be fair to Gronk, he's been on the field since day one of training camp.
True.
Jordan Reed has not.
Not.
And I feel like if all of this, if this gel in his cleat goes the wrong way and his foot gets stepped on, you're looking at Jordan Reed out for the year. Like, this is how volatile the position could be with both Jordan Reed and Rob Gronkowski. You have someone that in the right spot thus far, and you've done a bunch of drafts, have taken Jordan Reed.
All right. Are you taking Julio Jones?
I am taking Julio Jones.
It's the same thing.
Is he?
It's the same thing.
One guy's practicing, one guy's not.
Because Julio Jones already had the surgery.
Okay. But this guy hasn't, though.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a problem.
But last season, Julio Jones, almost, I'm sure we'll ask Dr. A tomorrow, sure. Almost the same exact thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The turf toe, you put the shoe on it.
Turns into something, okay.
The bone breaks. He has a break in the bone. This is. I'm quite sure Dr. A will confirm this tomorrow. It's the same thing. So it becomes down to a level of pain tolerance. How much pain can Jordan Reed take week in and week out on that foot? 9 times out of 10, every single week, he's going to be on the practice report, and you don't know if he's going to play until it's actually time to go for the game. If you can deal with that from your tight end position every week, and you get a value on him, sure. Maybe you did Jordan Reed and O.J. Howard. You know what I'm saying? So on the reach, you iffy on Reed, you could pop Howard in there. That's how it's going to be. He's going to be dealing with this the entire season, and then next year this time, we'll be talking about Jordan Reed coming back from offseason foot surgery.
So, Scotty, Corey said that if you can deal with this week in and week out, him on the practice report, him, maybe he'll play, maybe he won't, and you get him at the right value, you take him. You do it. You match him up with an O.J. Howard or something along those lines. Where is that right spot to take a Jordan Reed?
I don't think I'm going to end up with Jordan Reed in a lot of my teams because, you know, he's just too much of a health risk. And, you know, like Corey's been alluding to, and we all know, you know, maybe in the 7th round, he's a difference maker when he's on the field, but he's never played a full schedule in his entire career. You know, every fantasy expert is recommending to avoid him at some turn. You know, we got a new article by Mike Florio on the exclusive Edge package called Forget Him and Get Him. And one of his top guys that he says to forget him that won't end up in any of his teams is Jordan Reed. It's too much of a tease. It's not even like the whole Giancarlo Stanton thing in baseball because, you know, this is a guy that, you know, consistently is, and it's not even bad luck injuries. He's getting banged up. He's getting concussions, foot injuries. And when a receiver injures his wheel, like we said yesterday, you know, that's frightening.
Scotty says the 7th round, you're probably not going to get Jordan Reed in the 7th round. Matt, if I want to draft this guy.
And I think you can in the 7th.
You think you can in the 7th?
If everybody else has the attitude that we do in the expert draft, maybe he falls. Who knows?
Okay, so you think you can in the 7th?
I have seen him in the 7th, but yesterday he was the 4th tight end off the board. He went late 5th. And to me, he's got to fall further. Look, I love Jordan Reed. I had him last year. Went on the field, tremendous. But the toe, look, I like the gelling insoles. I buy them for all my sneakers and stuff. But, you know, this is a bit risky. This is a guy who's like one hit away from possibly career being over with all the concussions that he's had. It's a lot to ask right now. The 7th round, I can do it. I can take that chance in the 7th. But, I mean, right now, I got Jimmy Graham ahead of him. And it's just because of... This foot is really scaring me.
Yeah, I have no issue in the 7th round. I think the 7th round is more than fair because you've loaded up with running backs, you've loaded up with wide receivers. In the 7th round, I can take a chance on the guy that very well, if he stays healthy, could finish as the number one overall tight end.
You draft him in the 7th on Sunday in GST?
Oh, I have no problem drafting him in the 7th. Zero whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So. Yeah, that would be fantastic. I did ask yesterday to my partners in the GSD if we could take Lamar Miller.
I hope they cussed you out.
They did.
Don't you like overrule them, though? Don't you have the overruling vote
as the
senior member?
So I think if it came down to it.
He might not be the senior member.
I'm a senior member of the BFFs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that ultimately, if there is two, if there is like a little bit of a we're all on one side, then I would make the final vote. But if like two of them feel passionate against, I mean, one, I can't really argue that, Matt. It's a democratic society here.
I would take Isaiah Crowell over Lamar Miller.
Yes, I have Isaiah Crowell ranked ahead of Lamar Miller.
You know, I'm not saying you don't. That was one of the things this weekend at the Flex Draft.
Really? It was the thing.
Perplexed me. Somebody went Lamar
Miller. It's interesting with Isaiah Crowell, and I was talking to Corey about this over the weekend, that, you know, I feel like, you know, and Corey was the first one to talk about Kizer, you know, after seeing some more of him, I feel like if Kizer ends up winning that job, I'd be more confident in taking Isaiah Crowell.
I don't think it matters, to be honest with you.
I think
you.
It does to me. I think if Cody Kessler or Brock Osweiler is the quarterback, I don't think defenses will respect the ability as much. I think Kizer can move the team more, get him into situations where there's more red zone opportunities. You know, that's the way I'm looking at it.
But I think we saw Isaiah Crowell have success last year with Cody Kessler and a crap load of terrible quarterbacks.
Yeah, but we, you know, the whole team played bad down the stretch. And, you know, Crowell had some bad games, you know, that you could legitimately say weren't his fault. I think game script will change if Kaiser's the quarterback.
Well, maybe also the downside, if Kaiser's throwing interceptions, which is, you know, poor decision-making that he's shown in college, you know, that's going to change the game script right there, too.
But, you know, what to your Mitch Trubisky kind of thing, you know, what I saw of Kizer, you know, like, I don't care what he did in college.
The highlights,
yeah.
He looked great on the highlights, but people have said, you know, if you break it down and you look deeper into it, you know, there's still a lot to go. And when nobody's ever doubted the athleticism that he possesses, it's just he's had terrible decision makings in college, and I can't see it. Look, if the Browns want to just throw him out there, of course, they were a 1-15 team last year. I get it. But you're asking a huge leap from a kid that had severe issues in making the
same
right
thing
call.
With Trubisky.
I agree with that in terms of winning games, but I think the Browns will be more competitive, and I will be more confident in taking Crowell. I think they will be more competitive. Maybe he makes a wrong decision, you know, down the stretch in the fourth quarter and they lose the game, but I think he'll be able to move the... I think defense would respect his ability more than Kessler and Osweiler.
Well, hold on, Scott. If you're more confident taking Crowell, who, like, what would change is what I want to figure out. If Kizer starts over Kessler and Osweiler...
A quarterback with that kind of athletic ability is going to open up running lanes.
Got it. And I understand that perspective.
And to me, it's not just athletic ability either.
Fine. That's what you believe. That's fine. I don't want to make that argument. I want to know, like, if it's Kizer versus Osweiler, let's say, right... Who are you taking Crowell over one way and not taking him over the other way? Right?
Like, I might take him over, say, Fournette, you know,
okay.
or Gurley.
Okay, so you would make him your number nine.
I was thinking about bumping him up to maybe like 11th or something like that, you know?
Well, what is he now for you?
Let me pull up the ranks.
May I suggest just putting up the ranks before the show?
you have multiple windows.
You know I'm going to ask you the question.
I have multiple
windows.
Give me
something to pull up before.
No!
And you're going to say my ranks. Here they are.
Yeah.
Which is available, by the way, if you ask for my email
address. Not available.
Address.
I was about to say.
I'll be happy to email them to you. You're right. They're not available because my damn personal ranks. I don't need anyone stealing the winning ranks.
Oh, boy.
You're here to help people.
I'm here to win.
Why don't you give me the phone number?
I'm here to win.
Again, you have admitted you're not a man of the people, so... Yeah,
I got Isaiah Crowell at 9. So really, I've been the high man the whole way.
Sure, and I haven't.
I'm trying to fill.
You were the first one to talk about Kizer, Corey.
Yeah, no, and Crowell really too. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm curious because you got Jay Ajayi in the flex. You feel what I'm saying? In the flex league draft this weekend, you took Jay Ajayi.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of Ajayi. But you're comfortable with him as an RB1.
Yeah, I have Crowell at 14 right now, behind McCaffrey, Mixon, and Cook. I'd probably bump him up to number 11 if Kizer wins the job.
Yo, I got Cook.
Actually, I might. Yeah, I'll really? Bump him up between 1 and 3 spots. It won't be a major change for me, but I will bump him up.
All right, moving on. I have to get to this because he is Dalvin Cook at 7 overall.
Wow.
I have him at 13.
That's like 50 spots ahead of Lamar Miller.
Oh, yesterday I was looking at Lamar Miller. I thought that was pretty low too. Yesterday I was looking at Lamar Miller in standard. He's not much better than PPR though. But I got Cook at seven, Greg. I don't know. I think he's going to be featured in this offense. I think they're going to look to give him the football a lot, and I think he's ready to handle the load too.
You have him above Jordan Howard. You have him above Jay Ajayi. You have him above Gurley, Fournette, Crowell.
Yep.
Those are the five guys you have right?
Yep.
He's consistently starting to go in the second round. He went yesterday, I believe, in the second round. Where'd he go? This weekend we saw him go, I believe, in the second round as well in the flex draft.
So we were looking.
I have him 11th.
I have him 12th. Or 13th. We've been looking for that climber, right? Who is going to climb in the second round?
Yeah.
We found
Cook is cooking.
Oh, God. We have found it, and the answer is Dalvin Cook. No, maybe not try something so pathetic. We'll be back right after this. I'll be back in the morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
So, number seven is where Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, has Dalvin Cook. And he has been the big riser over the last month in fantasy draft season, right? We saw Dalvin Cook really as recently as 2 weeks ago before that first preseason game. You can get him in the fourth, in the fifth. And now, Matt, you said you are consistently seeing him go in the second round.
I've been this weekend. It was going in the end. Actually, yesterday he went 3-2, which is just after. But yeah, I mean, with Fournette's foot issue, I mean, Gurley, I'm still not 100% sold on. So I mean, for me, it's Cook 10, Mixon 11, Fournette 12, Gurley 13, McCaffrey 14.
There you go, Scotty. In your updated ranks, where are these guys?
I have Fournette 9, Gurley 10, Cook 11, Mixon 12. McCaffrey 13, Crowell 14, and Lamar Miller 15, about 30 spots of where Corey has him.
Yeah, use that joke already.
Trying to teach you humor.
You're going
to
hear it again.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, like you haven't repeated yourself constantly, right?
It's interesting that you have Crowell behind a guy, Christian McCaffrey. I know you're high on McCaffrey, but you don't think Crowell would just be more consistent?
Yeah, I'm going to redo the ranks again this weekend after the preseason games. You'll probably see
origami.
Like I said, you'll probably see Crowell go up 1 to 3 spots.
Okay, so fair enough. Dalvin Cook climbing. I have, like I said, I have him at 13. I guess maybe I should move him up. We still all have, where do you have Leonard Fournette, Corey?
12.
You have him at 12. I mentioned this briefly at the end of the show yesterday. Are we concerned about Leonard Fournette's foot?
I think we got to be at this point. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we see him no more the preseason.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah, that's an issue right there. Because if you don't see him in the dress rehearsal, this is not a situation like last year where you only saw Zeke once in the preseason, but you had freakish running back playing behind the Great Wall in Dallas. That offensive line in Jacksonville is not the same.
Sure.
And that player, Leonard Fournette, is not a generational running back like Ezekiel Elliott is.
Well,
you have a problem with that?
Yes.
Scott?
Can we stop talking like we work for Dallas Cowboys Newsweek?
Well, listen, I mean,
he has a Russell Wilson bobblehead doll.
It's not a bobblehead,
that
it's a doll.
That God knows what he does to it at night.
At least my analysis is not biased, though.
I smell something.
That's funny jokes, but you know what, though? It's like, at least if a Seahawk is not worth something, I'll tell you. You know, that doesn't, he's like going to the Hall of Fame. Every Cowboy that's good is a a generational player.
You heard me say
a Hall of Famer.
Did you hear me say anything that about anybody?
Yesterday you're so reactionary. It's like, God forbid everybody says something negative about the Cowboys. Yesterday you say Darren McFadden is crap, and this guy starts saying that he's okay. And then you change your mind.
He's not okay. Somebody, I don't like Darren McFadden.
He's so reactionary to somebody saying something against the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't like Darren McFadden. I don't like Darren McFadden.
But yet you said
Ezekiel Elliott
you
is a
said
generational
when somebody
player.
Brought up a negative thing about McFadden, you started defending him because
when
you're so reactionary and you can't get the star off your crotch.
Give me an example of when I defended Darren McFadden.
Yesterday, when we started pointing out the negative, you started saying, hey, the guy can move the ball. He'll be adequate. You know, he can move
he
the chains, et
cetera.
A minute later, before we were calling him a bum, but then when we started putting out the negatives, and all of a sudden he was respectable.
You're wrong with
back.
That, Scott. You don't understand
no,
the
what
point
I heard
that I was
yesterday.
Trying to make. He's serviceable.
No, he's you better. Said he's a bum. Which one is it?
He's a bum, yes, but he's serviceable.
You
He'll
can't
get
be
the
both.
Job done. He's better than the running backs in damn Seattle. How about that? He's
we're not
than,
talking about
he's
Seattle.
Than, he's better than Lacey not, and he's not, better than Rawls.
Okay, so he's not a bum then. Make it clear.
He is a bum.
Wait, you just said he's adequate. He's serviceable.
You
see, when it comes to the Cowboys, your emotions get the best of you.
Greg, make him leave me alone.
Ultimately, the conversation is about Leonard Fournette, not the Cowboys,
Thank
not the
you.
Seahawks. The conversation is about Leonard Fournette. And, Corey, in all honesty, I feel like you're right. Even though Ezekiel Elliott had some issues in the preseason last year, he was running behind the best offensive line in football. We knew that. We've said that for several years. Why we like Darren McFadden. It's why we like Joseph Randle, because we were confident in that offensive line. I'm not nearly as confident in the Jacksonville offensive line. So I'm seeing a foot injury now, Matt, for Leonard Fournette. Something he has dealt with in college. This is not a brand new injury. It's something that slowed him down there. Makes me really, really nervous about spending a lot of money in an auction this weekend about on him or spending a high draft pick on him. Because, listen, I get he could be the rookie of the year and all that, but a foot injury is just not what I want to hear right now.
Yeah, no, and that's the whole point. This is something that he's dealt with in the past. It's not something new. As you guys stated, that line is suspect at best. So, you know, I'm a big Fournette fan. I got to move him down. I'd have to put Crowell ahead of Fournette and Gurley probably for me. And, you know, it's a guy that I really want to be on. But if you look at 2015 when he was healthy, the dude was a beast. But last year he had these issues and it did hamper him. So to have it in the preseason right now in August, this is not a good sign. I'm just, you know, I'm just being honest.
You talking last year in college?
Yeah.
He's been banged up with a foot in the past in college, and now, of course, in camp. He's not going to play in the second preseason game, and we'll see if he lines up for the third. Now, if he's back for the third, I'm fine, right? Like, I'm fine with him, Scotty. But this weekend, I know he's not going to play. So what do I do?
I think you know, you bump him down a little bit, and that's what I'm going to do in my ranks. You go with guys that you know you're healthy. I say this during the regular season, and I'll say this during the preseason to a degree, not in every case, because some injuries, you're not looking at them for the long term, but when it's a wheel with a running back, you do take a concern. You have to take the context of the injury, and if the injury is serious, then you bump the guy down. Now, I'll probably bump him behind Todd Gurley because I think I'm becoming more confident in the Rams' offense, and that'll help Gurley. Not only Sammy Watkins, but them getting Whitworth, who's like one of the best left tackles in the game.
But we knew they had Andrew Whitworth 6 months ago.
I know, but I'm saying what they're doing overall.
Okay.
The more I see, the more I read, the more I like it. You get Watkins, you get Kupp, you get Whitworth. You know, you get Sullivan. You know, this improves the team. I'll bump behind Dalvin Cook. You know, and with Joe Mixon, you know, maybe I will too. He might go down to 13 here. But, you know, we also have to remember that, you know, this is not a season-ending injury, so we can't bump him down too far.
Real quick, I saw something yesterday on the NFL Network. I forget who did it. The Rams have four top 10 picks. Nobody else has that. The Falcons, I believe, have three. I mean, the Patriots have zero. So, and it, the Packers
that
have
ever
zero.
They
right
always
now, too.
Do that, yeah.
But it is interesting. They are putting the pieces in place at least to make this offense somewhat, even a Tavon Austin, he shouldn't be a centerpiece, but if used properly in this offense, and I mean, you still got Watkins, Gurley, and you know, maybe Goff can be better. I mean, he's coming off one of the worst seasons ever for a quarterback.
Hey, Corey, if I'm drafting in an auction this weekend, which I am, and you got, I know you have an auction in 9 days from now.
I have one Sunday.
And you, oh, you have one Sunday
I
as
have
well?
A dynasty auction.
Well, that's a little bit different, though. Yeah. It's a yeah. big difference.
The GST?
Scott. Sorry, Corey. No. Leonard Fournette in an auction this weekend. How much are you spending on him?
No more than $25.
All right, so you very well, you're probably not going to get him.
No.
Okay.
Auctions are different.
And that's why I need to ask
but
about
but
it.
I'm saying, though, but you, I say 25, and you're like, oh, no. What do you think he goes in the auction?
So I think, given that he's a rookie and number four overall pick or whatnot, I think you're going to have someone in there that's going to be high. I think you're going to have someone that pays over $30 for him. Now, personally, I haven't adjusted the ranks yet, given the foot. I thought he was going to be around $32. You said $25. It's a $7 difference. I think, even though the injury, you're going to have someone that still wants him where I put him initially, over 30. And again, I'm using, based for my projections of an auction value, my proposed auction value, I'm using what my experience in auction has told me.
Yeah.
I'm using the numbers.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm
you're
using
going
the numbers
by
that are relative to me
your
and
league.
My league.
Exactly.
Of course. But I think someone is going to spend over $30. Now, I know you and I, you've talked about a lot when it comes to auctions. You don't want to spend over $50 for any player. We have said in my draft, for instance, I don't want to go over $60 for a player. I'll go in the 50s because that's where my auction kind of dictates. And I've been on record with that. So all my proposed values have to do with my particular auction, and I realize that. I just think when it comes to a Leonard Fournette, and maybe you'll feel differently, Matt, but I think Fournette, someone's going to pay over $30 for him.
There is going to be somebody. I agree. There's going to be a high man in the room that does. And I really like the player. I've been on board with him since he was drafted and somebody that, you know. But it's, like you said, let's see the dress rehearsal. I mean, if you're drafting today, you got to make decisions. But if you're not drafting until after week three of the preseason, if he's out there in that dress rehearsal, I'm going to feel a lot better.
All is fine. I completely agree with you. I think for me, Todd Gurley remains ahead of Leonard Fournette. I think I might bump up Dalvin Cook up there and then kind of hit pause. But it's amazing some of these young running backs are really rising. Jordan Howard's got to be really consistent, been consistent despite the sophomore year, a little bit of people expecting a bit of a sophomore slump. So the running backs we will continue to monitor, obviously, in the days ahead. I mentioned Jack Doyle a moment ago. I want to get into Eric Swope, who had surgery. Oh, it was a knee scope or something like that. And he's out for a while. I mean, he's week to week. So all those people that thought we're going to get Dwayne Allen by Jack Doyle, it's not going to happen if Andrew Luck comes back.
I was looking at the Swope thing this morning. Doesn't make a difference now. Doesn't, because Andrew Luck's not there.
Right.
None of it makes it different. With Scott Tulsi in there, it might as well be Scott Engel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nothing.
I'm pretty accurate.
Nothing matters, ultimately, with Scott Tulsi at quarterback. And you're right. However, it may just be 1 week. It may just be 1 week.
I don't know that when I'm on the clock. I don't know that when I'm on the clock. You feel what I'm saying?
But if there is value, right?
Swope is a dude I was drafted in the 16th round. He's a waiver wire guy now.
Yeah, he's a waiver wire guy. Is Jack Doyle moving up at all?
No, I'm not fooling with Jack Doyle. I can't do none of it.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I mentioned these rookie running backs, Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette. Well, we had some movement on a rookie wide receiver yesterday. Let's see if John Ross has entered in the experts' minds. Roto Experts in the Morning continues on right after this.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning, Exclusive Edge Package available now. You sus mania when you check out rotoexperts.com/bigdeal. The rookie running backs, great. All looking good outside Leonard Fournette and his injury. What about the rookie wide receivers where it's been a bit of a bumpy road for most of these guys? Corey Davis remains out with his hamstring injury. And John Ross, however, returned to full 11-on-11 padded practice yesterday. Now, I get it. John Ross, theoretically, he's got Brandon LaFell in front of him. He's got Tyler Boyd in front of him. So John Ross is just getting it going. But there's some explosion here. This is a top 10 pick for Cincinnati Bengals. Can I get you interested? Excited, not Odika.
I'm not worried about LaFell or Boyd. I'm more worried about him being able to stay on the field.
Okay.
That's my issue with... it was good to see him out there. Supposedly really good things. I hate when people use it, and I'm probably going to put it here. I hate saying it. Like, he's a best ball player. Right up until this point, he's been nothing more than a best ball player late for me. But if he's healthy, this is a dynamic player. You know, he can, you know, pop the top off, whatever terminology you want to use. But I think the issue is, can he hold up? Can he hold up to the rigors of the NFL game? He's been going extremely late, so if you wanted to take a flyer, I'm fine with that. And he's a guy that, you know, I'm going to be paying attention to see, you know, that he's pretty much at practice every day. Everything's going good for the rest of the preseason. And if that holds up, I'll become more interested when we go live.
Corey, John Ross, top 10 pick in real life. We're talking flyers towards, you know, the middle to late rounds of these drafts. Is John Ross one of these guys we should take a flyer on?
Nah, I don't think so. I like the pieces that's already there. I think that they get the first option, and you add Mixon into the mix. I think at some point during the season, he might pop off the waiver wire. He's not a player I'm spending draft capital on right
okay,
now.
So you're not there on John Ross, which means you're probably
not yet.
Also not there on Mike Williams, who the Chargers announced they hope to have back in October, Scotty. But let's be realistic. We have no idea how the setback. And also, when it comes to the Los Angeles Chargers, we know that the wide receiver depth for that team is a plenty, right? With Terrell Williams and Keenan Allen, Travis Benjamin and Dontrell Inman. Mike Williams, he may be back in October, but there may be no spot for him.
Well, I think they'll find a spot for him. He's, you know, the kid's way too talented. You know, maybe the most talented wide receiver on the team. You can make the debate. You know, do we even know if Keenan Allen stays healthy? The thing right now is we're seeing reports about October. Like you said, we're seeing reports of indefinitely. So, you know, the guy just becomes a late round flyer at this point.
The guy in the Chargers camp too, the receiver, Travis Benjamin is getting rave reviews. You saw him the other night catch that pass. So, I mean, look, you got to like Phillip Rivers this year.
Sure.
I don't see how you don't. Between the receivers that he has, Williams, say, is a guy who possibly comes back in October. You have Henry and Gates. There's just a lot. And then you got Gordon in the backfield. It's just a lot of weapons.
Yeah, it's a ton of weapons in Los Angeles. And I'm trying to break it down. I know Melvin Gordon didn't look all that great. In the first preseason game, a lot of carries that went nowhere. And it kind of, I wouldn't say had me worried, Matt, but like, it reminded me, Melvin Gordon's never a high yard per carry guy. So much of that value came from those touchdowns. I know everyone's chanted at me, Anthony Lynn, Anthony Lynn, Anthony Lynn. I don't know in Melvin Gordon.
No, I think that's preseason.
I know.
Look, he's going to get the, it's his backfield. Unless he gets injured.
Sure.
It's his backfield. I think the 3.9 can go up. I like, you know, when I look at LeSean McCoy, that 5.2, 5.4, that's going down. I'm just being honest. You know, the previous 2 years before that, he was 4.2 and 4.4. That's a more realistic range. Maybe he can do a little better than that. But I do think Gordon can go over 4. He is going to get the, I know there was like Andre Williams talk a couple of weeks ago. Don't believe that. Healthy, Gordon will get those red zone carries. This is a very good offensive team.
Yeah, they're going to give him a lot of opportunities, even if, you know, he has to work really hard for his yards. The offensive line is better, but it's not outstanding. They've dealt with an injury or two in the preseason, you know, and that could be the issue because Melvin Gordon, you know, is going to have to fight for a lot of his yardage, you know, outside the red zone. But, you know, I think there's going to be some good games, et cetera. You're going to have to be touchdown dependent. Maybe that's scary, but I think the touchdowns are really there, especially too early in the season, because Mike Williams is not going to be there as a red zone target either.
The volume is going to. That's the thing. I mean, that's what you want, and he's got it.
Yeah, you know, you could be looking at games with like 24 carries for like 82 yards, you know, something like that. You know, and then he gets a touchdown. You know, you're looking at 16 fantasy points right there.
I mean, look what he's got. He's got the good quarterback, good offense, and opportunity.
Yep.
So. Yeah. I understand why people like Melvin Gordon. I completely get it. And listen, I'm not saying I'm low on him. I think he's my number five running back or something like that.
But I get the apprehension.
There's a little apprehension. That's why I have LeSean McCoy and Devontae Freeman ahead of him, I guess, basically. Okay, other stuff here from over the last couple of days. Both Bilal Powell and Matt Forte remain out of practice. Now, Forte should be coming back, but Corey, there's no real sign of Bilal Powell coming back when he's got this neck injury that he had.
Yeah, I was thinking about this neck injury this morning. I really was. I was hopping in the Uber. And I was like, something wrong with Bilal Powell's neck. I wonder if I got to move him down in my rankings.
Exactly.
And we want to see some more. Obviously, neck injury. We saw it last week.
We saw Quincy Enunwa.
Quincy Enunwa, and the next day, bam, he's out for the season. Situation to monitor for the New York Jets right here. Obviously, he's going to get a lot of work. He was out there on the field and healthy. He needs to get to that point. So I'm not doing anything with him right now, but I will be scratching the surface to see if I can get some more information on this Bilal Powell injury. It's very, very important. Extremely important.
I totally agree, because right now I have Bilal Powell as my 19th overall running back. I don't know where you guys have him.
I got him at 17.
You have him at 17, Scotty?
I have him at 19.
All right. I believe I have him like 22.
All right, so we're all in this kind of 17 to 22 range, a 5 range rating. I mean, that is a major deal. That's it. We all have him as a pretty rock solid RB2, Matt a little bit lower. But if he has his neck injury and he doesn't practice for a little while longer, Matt Forte beats him back, we're going to have to drop him in our rankings. You have to.
Yeah, I passed on him in the 6th round when we really should have took him. We both knew we should have took him yesterday.
So why didn't you?
Manny Sanders was there, and we got a stacked receiving core. Very iffy running back situation, but, you know, we're not scared.
And the thing with the Jets is, let's say both Bilal Powell and Matt Forte not available for some reason. You know, the Jets have already shown they don't care about bolstering a position. They'll go with Elijah McGuire and Jordan Todman.
Jordan Todman's on this team?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Who knew?
The Jets are, you know, they're going for the suck, and they're doing it right.
Speaking of guys
they're going for it.
Speaking of guys that are hurt that we haven't even talked about being hurt, Devontae Freeman's concussed, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen him with Jay Ajayi, who has been over 2 weeks now in the concussion protocol. We thought he came back on Sunday. That was not true. He got to reach another level.
I believe I said yesterday he had a little setback or something.
So we thought it was a little dehydration, but you were right yesterday where he did have this setback, and he is still in concussion protocol. And Adam Gase has been like, listen, yeah, he's missing a lot of time. Now, Devontae Freeman is concussed, and if he misses a couple weeks here, all of a sudden Tevin Coleman gets more work. I'm not saying all of a sudden Devontae Freeman's gone, but this is something we're going to have to monitor, gentlemen.
I don't think so.
No?
If they was playing the game on Sunday, Devonta Freeman would be out
there
playing.
He's concussed and in the
protocol.
He would
be out there playing if he was the game on Sunday.
I agree with Corey, too, because the report, I read a detailed report on what happened. You know, they thought it literally was like heat-related, and they gave him some fluids. He spoke to the media, et cetera. I think they're just playing careful with him. I'm not moving Freeman at all in my rankings. As far as Ajayi goes, he just needs independent clearance from a neurologist, which is part of the process. I think I'm not moving both of these guys in my ranks at all.
I just think, listen, you guys may all say he's going to play.
Unless Dr. Ray says something this week, which like,
okay,
you know,
no offense. Dr. Ray, I have no idea. He hasn't looked at Devontae Freeman.
He knows different types of concussion degrees and how to tell it, you know, so.
How would he know which one dog?
Yeah, you can't have unless he examined them. You can't have a mild, the mild, because concussions are concussions.
Well, he spoke last week about Ajayi's concussion. They gather all the information and et cetera, and, you know, they're able
I think you have to see the patient. I've had 3 concussions.
I don't know.
Yes.
Playing hockey?
Sports related, multiple different things.
Sure.
But you know what though? I'm not a medical expert, so I'm not going to say that Dr. A can't diagnose it. By the flip side.
Okay. Well, I am.
Who are we to say that? You know, you have to see the patient to know if you're an experienced doctor.
Hold on one second, Scotty. If you get sick or you break your arm.
Right.
Are you going to call Dr. A and be like, Doc, what do? Or are you going to go see a doctor?
Yeah, I'm going to go see a doctor.
Okay, that's my point.
But you know what, though? I think Dr. A can give a more experienced take on it than we can.
Sure.
I would hope so.
He's a PhD. Right, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I'm not like Dr.
We've always trusted in this app, you know, et cetera. So.
I trust this app when it comes to guys that are coming back, you know, coming back from injury and how long it should take, and I understand that. But my opinion is, guys can cost these concussed. And maybe you guys aren't worrying about it.
There aren't different levels of concussions?
No.
I've seen everybody unanimously says no. I've seen reports of mild concussion.
There's no such thing as a mild concussion.
How do you know? You're
you
not a doctor.
You cannot have a spicy concussion, Scott. A concussed brain is a concussed brain.
You're not a,
when you have a bump on your brain, it's a concussion. It's
you're
important.
Not a doctor.
It's important. Anytime you have a head injury, a mild concussion is bullshit that the NFL uses to put players on the field that's all concussed. It's no such thing as
I'll
a mild concussion.
Let's ask Dr. Ray.
You can't
Thursday.
Get occasion concussion.
Let's ask Dr. Ray on Thursday.
I totally agree, and that's why if Devontae Freeman is truly in the concussion protocols, I think he is, he would not play on Sunday. When we come back, we go out the park with the king, Scott Angle. Stick around. We're right back for the morning. Rolls on right after this.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the morning. It's time for Roto Experts at the Park, where the king gets to chat at Major League Baseball stadiums with real Major League Baseball players.
And his king, his idols.
And the king had an opportunity last week to catch up with Rangers slugger Joseph Gallo.
Yeah, and Joey Gallo, big, big fantasy football player. So what we did is, right here, we put him on the clock and asked him with some tough picks who he would prefer.
That's a really good one. I'll go with Jameis. I think his upside is a little higher, and I actually grew up with him a little bit, playing baseball with him, and he was drafted by the Rangers as well. So I think his wide receivers that he has there and the tight end that they just drafted for him is going to be big for him. So I think he'll have a huge year.
Yeah, so Joey Gallo there going Jameis Winston over Kirk Cousins.
This is Kirk Cousins versus Jameis Winston. He knows Jameis because he knew him. That doesn't seem fair. He knows him.
I guess he's like everybody else who likes this offense and who feels that they're going to throw a lot. They're very upbeat. They're going to be very aggressive. I have Winston ranked pretty highly. I have him in my top 10. So, this offense is going to be aggressive. I like it. And if you listen to the full interview on demand, I put him on the clock for about 7 tough picks. So listen to it on Audio Boom, on iTunes, on Google Play.
There you go. I have him back-to-back in my rankings as well, Scotty. I got Jameis Winston at 7, Kirk Cousins at 8. So there you go. New Hard Knocks tonight, by the way, speaking of Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of them.
I didn't watch that.
But I have them 7-8 reverse. But I like them pretty much.
Yeah, same. I think they're back-to-back.
I want Chase on it at some point.
The problem is I can't binge on Hard Knocks. I fall asleep every time I try to do that. It's too dramatic for me.
How about Aguayo getting picked up by the Bears?
Well, that's where I was going to go next, because tonight on Hard Knocks, you're going to see Roberto Aguayo get cut live on Hard Knocks, which I think is always, I hate to say this, the best part of the show, when you're watching these kids get their dreams bursted, right? Like, I it's horrible to say, but it is the most intriguing part of the program, and tonight you'll get to see Roberto Aguayo get cut. He did get claimed by the Bears. If a guy ever needed a change of scenery, I think it certainly was in Tampa Bay, where a guy who made all his extra points in college couldn't hit one to save his life here.
You know what's crazy about that?
In the summer, yeah.
I saw something. Kickers that are drafted higher then when kickers are drafted,
sure,
they immediately, when they come into the league, they immediately struggle.
Yeah, all this pressure, there's all this pressure on themselves, right? Like, when you're an under, it's really interesting, because when you're an undrafted free agent, like the Giants, they brought Mike Nugent, another former, like, second-round pick as their kicker. With the Giants, the leader in their kicker battle is this dude, Aldrick Rosas. Some undrafted free agent who kind of bounced around, and he landed in New York, he's kicking really well this summer, and very well could be their kicker. When that happens, and these guys kind of bounce around from camp to camp, eventually they get hot and they just get comfortable and get in a spot, it is much easier than having to be a second-round draft pick. You have everybody coming out and being like, wow, I can't believe this dude's a second rounder. You better be the best kicker in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, now you're a second-round kicker. You got to produce. There's a lot of pressure on yourself.
You
better
be the best kicker in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what, though? Kickers are supposed to handle pressure.
Sure.
You know, it's what they do.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. However, Scotty, it's like, it's almost added pressure. You're right. Like, the best kickers handle pressure absolutely no problem. But a guy like Justin Tucker, undrafted, and he's the best kicker in the NFL. You know? So,
yeah.
We always say that
kickers are weird. It's like they can slump and be out of the league,
sure,
and then come back a year or two later. You know, and you know, then we've seen them last forever. Some of them well into their 40s.
Absolutely. Not that they're going to own.
Well, no, Justin Tucker undrafted, but Scott drafted him this weekend.
There you go, Scott drafted, which is the perfect transition for when we come back. We're going to dive into Scott's flex team, which included the kicker in a no kicker league. Stick around, Roto Experts in the Morning goes on to hour number two next.